Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Kia ora, nice to have you listening. It's time for New Zealand sporting history. We look forward to it each Thursday. And today we're talking to the best centre world netball has ever seen. Sandra Edge won the complete set of world championship medals, gold, silver and bronze. In that order, 87, 91 and 1995, she captained the Silver Ferns through 21 tests and played many more tests than that in her decade with the Silver Ferns. She joins me now to talk about her career and in particular that world title win in 1987. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Jesse.
How lovely to have you on the show. Thank you for all those exciting moments over the years.
They're a long time ago, Jesse.
Wow. I'm sure you still get recognised often, do you?
Not really. Usually through the grandchildren.
Or yeah.
Not the grandkids, but, you know, my nana or my mum. Not so much the young ones these days.
Do they play, your children and your grandchildren?
Not mine. These are others. Are you talking about my grandchildren? I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah,
I'm not there yet.
No,
we're talking about.
Okay.
I'm still heavily involved in netball.
Yeah, I understand.
And yes, it's not the young ones. It's either the parents or the grandparents these days.
So, and I know all about that, believe me. Hey, you grew up on the East Coast. Can you tell me a bit about your early life?
I did. I was born in Tapuia Springs. And my dad was born in Tokomara Bay. He and his parents were in the grocery business.
Yeah.
And my mum was a school dental nurse. She trained in Wellington. And
wow.
Her first posting was Tokomara Bay. So I think dad delivered a drill part to the clinic and
yeah.
The rest was his
Come
story.
On, really?
Yeah. So
oh, I love that.
Fabulous childhood up there. Very community. Mum and dad were both very involved in the community and in the school. And you know, sport was a big thing up there. Everybody seemed to be involved.
Yeah.
We got dragged around with mum and dad to the tennis club, to rugby. You know, dad was a referee and sort of he'd finished playing and got into refereeing. So we were, you know, in the Ford Falcon heading to different rugby grounds around the
yeah.
place. So, brilliant. Coastal, lots of outdoor activities. And I've got two younger sisters and a younger brother. So we
all
had a
whom,
fabulous time.
All of whom did a bit of sport and did so quite successfully.
Yeah, they did. All quite different. Margaret, my next sister, she was a hockey player and had a few games for the New Zealand hockey team. And my sister Carolyn was an excellent athlete, runner, and she unfortunately had she did her ACL playing netball. And my brother Thomas, the spoilt one,
tell me more about that.
I'm the eldest and got a bit of grief, you know, carved the way for the other three. By the time Thomas got there, you know, the golden boy.
Yeah,
she was pretty sweet by the time he came
Isn't
around.
That funny? Our youngest has turned 5 yesterday and the others routinely complain that he gets an easier ride than they
ever did. Yeah, good on them. Yeah, they're probably right on the money. So, no, we had a fabulous time up there.
And because you might think that being from what is a comparatively small town that you might not get the same opportunities, but that's what, 4 children representing in 4 different sports?
I think that's what our community offered.
Yeah.
Lots of sport. We all played everything. Like, we all played tennis, softball, paddle tennis, You know, we did the athletics days, we did the gymnastics. What were they, like the gymnastics festivals? And we go to Gisborne and compete in our little routines.
It's just what you did, eh? You played sport.
It's just what you did, exactly. Mm. And everybody seemed to do it. And I can't remember being anything super special. pretty talented bunch up there. It's just what we did.
So did you move with your parents' jobs to Wellington in 1980?
Oh, no. From Tokemarau Bay, I went to boarding school in Hawke's Bay. I went to Iona College. And so that was, oh, gosh, what years are those?
Late 70s, probably.
Late 70s, yep. Well, actually, 75 was my first year at high school. Uh-huh. And then in 79, Mum and Dad have moved from the coast to Gisborne. Dad bought an orchard and vineyard, so I went back to Lytton High School in 1979, had a year there, and then I came to Wellington in 1980 to do dental nursing training. So
that's great.
Hit the city with my dental nursing mates.
Yeah,
and had a great time.
I'm sure. So that was quite early to be leaving school, though, eh?
I was pretty young. I was the youngest. I was pretty young.
And you were going into the same profession as your mum.
I was. I had a little bit of a. I suppose you'd. Apart from sport, I pretty much told. I was told what to, I wasn't told what to do, but when you're making these decisions, and I loved craft, I loved health, and Mum said, "Why don't you, try that?" And I thought, "Oh, that sounds pretty good." So I did what my mother told me, and met a great group of people down here, and went flatting and sort of started exploring life. Well, went flatting quite early with two other girls that had been to boarding school. So by May, we'd sort of had our dose of boarding. So we got a flat in Tinakori Road.
Gosh.
And shared some great days with it was neat being with those dental nursing mates. And that's where the netball started, really.
But not super seriously. Like, you didn't go down as a rep player at 17.
I played rep tennis all through my school days and played, when I moved to Gisborne, I played for the Poverty Bay team, the women's team. So there were two of us, Marianne Reed and myself, that made the Poverty Bay team. We were playing for Lytton High School. So we went to New Plymouth to the national tournament. And so that was my first taste. And then when Mum and Dad brought me down to Wellington to have a look at the hostel and find, the lie of the land in Wellington, Dad said to the cook at the hospital, Huia Brown, the chef at the hospital, Huia Brown, are there any netball teams around here? Sandra likes netball. So I come down, start the year, and I don't know, it might have been late Feb, early March, and I get a tap on the shoulder from Julie Govers, I think she was doing Teachers College. Hey, Huia just said that you want to play netball. Do you want to come to trials with me? I was like, yeah. I'll come to trials with you. So, and that's how that started.
Yeah, great. And you were competitive. Of course you were. You were competitive at everything you did.
Yeah, probably.
Did you have mentors? Did you have people that you thought, oh, that could be a kind of a bit of a pathway for me?
I remember watching Margie Martin on TV in Tokemarau Bay. I thought she was pretty cool. And she was here in Wellington playing. And I remember when I was in that Gisborne team that went to national tournament, the New Zealand team were away in Trinidad and Tobago doing their thing. So all the New Zealand players were away. But in those days, at the end of the tournament, there was a North versus South match. And I remember sitting on the steps at the courts in New Plymouth and watching Liz McJorrow. She's from Wellington, and she was a defender because I was a goalkeeper back in those days, and I just thought she was fabulous.
Yeah.
So again, when I came to Wellington, there's Liz. So those were the two that, I remember, specifically looking at thinking, wow.
You enjoyed it though, eh?
Yep, loved it.
And centre was your position?
No, well, it was for the Ferns. So my first couple of years in Wellington, well, my first year in Wellington, I was goalkeeper.
Yeah.
A shorty, but quite loved that challenge.
Yeah.
And then sort of the
height. Do you know how tall you were?
5'7".
Oh, yeah.
So
that'd be even, sorry, no offence, but that would be even below average, wouldn't it, 5'7"? Or right on average, maybe?
Well, I'd say probably in life average, in yeah. netball,
yeah.
not. They're tall girls.
Yeah. So you're keeping against presumably pretty tall girls.
They weren't especially tall back then. So mm. Margie wasn't, she wouldn't be especially tall compared to the shooters today. They got taller internationally. There was a, gosh, I can't even, Trinidad and Tobago, Rhonda Meads, Rhonda Wilcox. She was a shooter at that time, but didn't come up much against her because for club, I was goalkeeper, goal D, and internationally, I was sort of getting shimmied up the court. So ended up in centre, running around there, which I quite enjoyed. Had to build up the fitness a bit.
Yeah, but. I'm talking to Sandra Edge. I mean, when I think of hear your name, I can picture you. I can picture how much you were running around the court just in amongst it all. And I guess that's, for a competitive, sporty person, that's quite ideal. You probably get to touch the ball more than anyone, do you?
I think so. I think it's the challenge of defending as well as the challenge of weaving the ball through the court and then trying to get it past the defenders into your shooters. Yeah, so you had that whole range of skill that you can apply.
Yeah, and I guess sometimes you're attacking and sometimes you're defending.
Oh, yes, that's right. Mm. Yep. Yep, enjoyed that. Enjoyed the jumping, the running, the positional, working in a team. I think that's probably why probably wasn't good enough, to be fair, for tennis, but I enjoyed the netball environment and the yeah. people and the, you know, the ball work.
My producer has warned me that you're a little humble, Sandra, so I feel like you've glossed over making it into the national team. So so how do you go from someone at the hospital saying, I hear you want to play netball, to, oh, yeah, I played centre for the Ferns? So, and I think it began with the under-21 national team, did it?
Yes, I guess it was. It was very progressive. So I made the Wellington under-21 team, and then I made the Wellington team, and then I made the New Zealand under-21 team. And, gosh, that was over a few years. Like, I got to Wellington in 1980 and made the New Zealand team in 1985. So, you know, it was progressive. And
was there a moment when it clicked and you thought, oh, so this is my sport, this is, I'm actually going to take this pretty seriously and go as far as I can?
Oh, I must have, but I can't remember it. I could be wrong, because apparently I was a bit sulky after I didn't make the New Zealand team. Apparently I was a bit sulky. I can't remember it, but, like, for example, I got to Wellington and St. Mary's Old Girls had already had their trials. That was the trial I went to. They'd already had them. And the first team had been picked, so I actually made the second team. And from memory, and I don't know, probably a bit fadey these days, but I sort of remember them being a little bit apologetic because I'd made the second team, not the first team. And I was like, well, as long as I just want to play. You know, so at every stage, I just love playing. I enjoy the people. Netball was very organised. It was progressive. You know, I had to sit on the sideline a bit for when I made the Wellington team. There was some, you know, Liz Nielsen was still there. So, yeah, but I enjoyed it enough and clearly felt valued enough that I stayed in the sport and, you know, and enjoyed a full, I'm still doing it, really, not playing, but, you know, I'm still in the sport.
Yeah, what's it like in the 80s when you make the national team? Because, you know, even now I think players struggle to juggle everything and perhaps sometimes don't earn enough of a living to only do that. But back then that must have really been the case. You don't quit the job the day you join the Silver Ferns.
Definitely not. You did right. We worked full time. All of us worked full time. A lot of us were involved in clubs as well.
Yeah.
A lot of us were coaching as well. Uh-huh. And then sort of dealing with the, you know, there were lots of requests to do all sorts of things, prize giving, speak at things, attend different events for all sorts of things, you know, not just sport. So it was challenging. You just did it, and I guess there was enough enjoyment that we were getting out of the game that it's just what you did.
And there was no other visible way of doing it, really, I suppose.
No, you'd fit in your training, and you know, a lot of that was self-directed. But Netball New Zealand were really, really supportive. We did have strength and conditioning support and nutrition support, all that sort of thing. But it certainly wasn't centralised. You were out in your provinces doing your thing.
Did you get a bit of free stuff?
Wow, that was the buzz, wasn't it? Like, free gear. And that's where Netball New Zealand, you know, back in the 80s, they certainly looked after us in terms of our travel, shoes, gear, which goes a long way. Well, it went a long way then. It was like, oh, this is a real perk of being in this, at this level.
You got lots of fans still out there, I should say, Sandra, getting lots of texts from people, and the word that comes up the most often is flair. I don't know if you're sick of that word yet, but lots of people have used it. My siblings and I were lamenting the lack of flair in New Zealand's team at the last World Championships, says one person. Sandra Edge had it. She was simply the best, says someone else. Sandra playing with New Zealand's best netball team when flair was appreciated and encouraged. It's a hard thing to define flair, isn't it? But I guess it's a sort of a moment of inspiration and perhaps taking a chance or a risk or an idea rather than playing the more familiar or more expected line.
You're right, and that's Lois Muir, Dame Lois. She was very good at that, at allowing ourselves to, or be ourselves. She did call me, I was called, what was it, a free spirit? I don't know if that was complimentary or not. I don't know whether that was like, I think it was more like
a euphemism.
Let's not crowd Sandy's brain too much with too much, otherwise it'll turn to custard. And actually other people have said that to me as well. It's like, oh, please don't think, you know, don't think, just play. So we were, I think that was her strength. We were given license to play, but when you're with, you know, in 87 we won, oh my God, and I was a newer player, I was in amongst just, yeah, the best of the best, and I had no worries, because you know I was just the newbie in the team, and all I had to do was play, so it was just freedom, and they were all so experienced and so talented in their own right in their positions that, you know, I think of the 87 team, for example, you know the late Margaret Forsyth, yeah. Just beautiful. Maggie Martinga's hands, and then, you know, Tracy Shortland, Tracy Earle, her.
Great team.
She just, you know, she pulled in, oh, you know, thank you for pulling in that ball. If you didn't, you know, you would have made me look, not that it was about making me look good or bad.
I know what you mean. You appreciated
so
the skills
grateful.
Of the people around you, and they let you be the free spirit that you were, I guess.
Correct. And then you have, you know, Rita Fatilofa, who just gave you the eyeball as to just give me the ball. So, oh, well, you want it? Here it is. And then, you know, Wyan, Tracy and Hef, and, you know, doing their thing at the back. And then Julie, Lee Gibbs, so experienced. And then Julie Townsend comes on and gets, you know, the Lee had sort of ground them down. And then Jules comes on and gets us ball. You know, Angela Poole there, they're filling in any, she was so talented, she could play any position.
You're there on the court right now.
Oh, I am, yeah.
You're looking around.
I'm just nervous I've missed somebody, so that's a problem.
Tell me about that 87 tournament.
It just happened, but the reason I think it happened was because the team, the previous World Cup, weren't happy with their results. We didn't have a great year in 86. We had a fantastic year in 85. We were really challenged in 86. Aussie was dominating us. We had some injuries. The media
Wasn't every 4 years, or were they doing? Was there an annual one as well?
No. So, yes, the World Champs, World Cups every 4 years. Yeah. But back then we weren't playing comm games.
Uh-huh.
So the netball was not a comm game sport.
Yeah.
So we had another in between times.
Okay.
The World Games, which was sort of an Olympics, it was a World Games for non-Olympic sport.
Sorry for interrupting. Yeah. Okay, so a rocky ride, and you arrive in 87 and you're, you know.
Oh, there was just this resolve, and I think our management team, the fabulous Dame Lois, Monica Leggett, our head of delegation, Ann Taylor, Christine Archer, and...
You're worried about forgetting people again.
Yeah,
we won't get them all.
Yeah,
we better get to the tournament.
Jokes, yeah, I better hurry up and get to the tournament. But they were so experienced. They were at the top of their game. Everything was set for us. We'd, as players, had enjoyed the lead-up. We were working really hard. Everyone was really determined. And so come the tournament, playing outside in Glasgow,
In August, though, so a bit warmer than if you were playing in the middle of winter.
Yeah, true. Although, it was a bit miserable at times, but it was a bit miserable. But, and no team got within, I think, 11 or 12 of us. So it was the dream ride, really.
Yeah, and they used to do things a bit differently. So they'd have two big groups. You won 8 from 8 in Group B.
Yeah.
And then you go on to the final round. And that's instead of, kind of hard to imagine now, but instead of semi-finals and finals, what you all play each other, is that right?
Yeah. And, what happened? We ended up against Australia and beat them and then came across Trinidad and Tobago in the final.
Oh, yeah. There was an actual final or something that ended up being the final,
the final,
I suppose.
Game.
Yeah.
So Aussie and Jamaica, I'm pretty sure it was Aussie and Jamaica played the...
Aussie and England.
Yeah.
Okay, so you win.
Aussie, England. Yeah.
And what a highlight that early in your career. You'd been with the team, a couple of years?
When was that? 87, 85, a couple of years. Yeah.
So that's fine, but then I guess 91, it's a whole different thing, turning up as defending champions.
Yes, it was, and it was the first year indoors as well, it was, I'll be honest, I struggled. You're in the stadium and hadn't really experienced an intense like that. Again, got through hit Aussie in the final. And
so
I'm
again,
sure.
Sorry, Sandra. Nine from nine.
Yep.
In Group A, and looked like you had a pretty good group there. Jamaica was the toughest challenge by the looks of things.
Yep.
And then into the final group. Pick that one up there. Yeah, the finals. So now it is. Semi-final situation. Mm-hmm. You're up against England, thrash England. Australia beats Jamaica. And then tell me about that final, 13th of July, Sydney Entertainment Centre.
Yep. Close the whole way, pretty much goal for goal the whole way. In fact, if my memory serves me correctly, we were ahead by one at the end of every quarter. Except the last quarter where we lost by one. So,
home crowd, up against the home crowd.
Up against the home crowd. Just the noise was intense, magnified, I guess, by the closeness of the game the whole way through. And just didn't quite have the legs to get us through that last little bit.
Tough game? Physical game?
Very physical game. I remember being... Yeah, probably got to me a little bit, which after every pass, sort of a bit of a whack, just a little bit of a whack. So very intense. The Aussies play extremely one-on-one, always have done, still do.
Dislike them for that?
No, it's a great challenge. I mean, that's what sort of drives us, I think.
It's not cheating?
The umpires and I can remember, one thing I do remember is on the circle edge, I got past a ball and the umpire didn't see a whack on the hand. I dropped the ball, and all I could think of was, I'm going to get no sympathy here.
Yeah.
Dame Lois would be saying, catch the ball, hold it, you know. So, yeah, tended to look at myself first. Yeah, didn't blame the Aussie for that. It's like I should have held that ball no matter what the whack. So, yeah.
And it will go down as one of the great netball games, that final. Well, actually, the Prime Minister, Bob Hawke, remember him, he was in the crowd. He later said it was the most exciting sporting contest he'd ever seen.
Interesting, because I've heard a few comments from, actually, males, sporty males, who, when they've been at a live game that's intense like that, they, yeah, speak really highly of it. You know, you can't beat a really physical, close game of netball.
I've heard the exact same thing.
Mm.
Most blokes who know their sport, if you ask them to name their five favourite matches, would throw in a netball match, I reckon.
So
do you get any pleasure out of that it was a great game and very exciting for everyone to watch? Or, I mean, obviously you would have preferred to win it, but do you look back on it as something that was special to be a part of?
I think the winning means a little bit more. Well, not winning means a little bit more, but what can you do about it? You've got to suck it up. And what can you do better next time? Which I think, again, was the disappointing thing for 95, when you really wanted to take all that experience and take it in, and you fall short again. But I have, over the years, actually become quite proud of the way that you do things. In fact, I read a really neat article on Marina Rarakovic and her tennis career, and, you know, gee, it must be hard doing that on your own and achieving what she did, obviously not conquering the being in the top, but when she looked back, she was really proud of what she did, and I thought that was really enlightening. And
Was that one from a few years ago? There's a Chris Rattu interview with her. I think he's great. So I wonder if that was the one you were talking about in the Herald.
Yeah, was it a radio interview? I think it was a radio interview. And
anyway,
I just thought, and so it takes a long time, because I just think, for 91 and 95, could I have done anything more? What could I have done better? You know, in that leadership role in 95, gosh, what could I have done better? Would it have made a difference? And again, you just keep learning. And since I've taken up coaching a bit more, you sort of try and bring it into that. But I think at the time, I can say that I did the best I could. You know, what about the team? Could I have supported them a bit more? And so, you do a lot of, I did a lot of reflecting. You know, you can only do your best, I guess, and it is what it is. And it shouldn't, like, we had this 87 reunion not so long ago.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. You know, we were all there. It was Joan Hodson that I didn't, and she's got flair, Joan Salea. She was the one I missed out in 87. We were all there, bar Monica and Margaret.
Yeah.
They're so with us. And I thought, you know, we did have a fab. It was just incredible. And then I sort of reflected on 95, you know, why we should be doing the same thing, because we gave it our best. You know, those players gave it their best. Yes, we fell a little bit short, you know, not making the final, which was devastating. But, you know, we came back from the shock loss. No, they deserved it, didn't they, South Africa? And then we fronted up the next day against Australia and lost by one. So, and you know, that was another close game. So
I'm going to jump in here, Sandra, because the top of hour is coming up. I've really loved talking to you. Thank you for being so generous with your time and your memories. And thanks for all the exciting matches over the years.
They've been great.
Thank you,
Jesse.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.